All right, our reading will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 37. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Amen. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor, look your neighbor square in the eye. You ain't touching them, you're just looking at them. You ain't touching them, you're just looking at them. Look them square in the eye, because you want them to understand what you're about to tell them. Amen. Say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord. Neighbor, the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord." This will conclude the series we've done about the promises. We talked about 4 weeks ago about the Lord made promises to me, which we covered in Acts chapter 1, the first 4 or 5 verses. And then last week we looked at Acts chapter 2, 1 through 13, where the value of promises. And this week we conclude this series with the sermon heading, "The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord." As we take this time to look, as we're in this first Sunday of Advent, as we look and understand, there's a concept. The concept is gift. What is a gift? A gift is what people give you because this is what they choose to do. You might think you're not worthy of it. You might think you're undeserving of it. But the choice is not on you. The choice is on the gift giver. And since the gift giver has made a decision to give you a gift, it is now left up to you to embrace the gift that has been given to you. We saw today how Sister Harriet Hoover received this huge poinsettia plant. Huge. Emphasis on huge. Now, whether she thought she deserved it or not, it doesn't matter, because it's on the giver of the gift that gave her this huge poinsettia. Are you working with me? You see that the one thing that the Lord wants us to realize about gifts is that when you receive gifts, you understand that you also have responsibility to give gifts. And as we delve here into these verses, because last week we concluded at verse 13, where we see that all the apostles, there was 120 of them in the room, and the Holy Spirit came on them like tongues of fire. And they were on fire because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that the Holy Spirit gave them all utterance to speak in other languages, because there were various people of different ethnic groups that spoke different languages, but the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak into the language of those who grew up hearing it. And as they heard it, they heard the word of God in clarity because they heard it in their native tongue. And because of that, what happened was that anytime God is glorifying, there's always somebody who's trying to put some water on the fire. Because they tried to say, Sister Saturday is drunk. But they wasn't drunk. And Peter, that's when Peter stood up and he preached his initial sermon. And in preaching his initial sermon, we're seeing right now the evidence. Now, we got to understand, who was Peter? Peter was just a fisherman. Peter was always quick to react. But here we're seeing that he has now been filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit, he is now doing something he was incapable of doing on his own. And what he began to do was to preach and to teach. And as he did all that, I want you to know that there were a number of folk that had now been touched. Which brings us to where we are in our scripture reading today. It tells us in verse number 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I'm going to stop right there. They were cut to the heart. I know God was into trying to cut us at the heart. Is the Lord trying to kill us? If his word is going to cut us. Yes, he ain't trying to kill you, but yes, he's going to kill something in you. And what he wants to kill is the sin in you. But in order to do that, he's got to meet us where we live. In our heart. The one thing y'all have heard me say, and I hopefully this is the last time I got to say it. I don't want to hear nobody coming to me talking about, oh, you stepped on my toes today. Because God ain't trying to step on anybody's toes. Because your toe might hurt for a minute, you put a little ice on it and you forget about it. You see, God is trying to go where you live. And you live in your... So what the Lord needs to do is bring his word and put it right before you to allow you to make a decision on what you need to do next. Do you just hear it and just let it run off for you? Or do you embrace it and realize that there are some changes I need to make in my life? Because the Lord is now challenging me, because he showed me what I am doing. He showed me where I am, not to humiliate me, but to show me that I can be better, that I can do better. But before I can do anything, I must first realize I need him. So as we read the rest of that verse, and it says, and said to Peter, this is what the folks said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Well, did you hear that?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered, what should you do? You see, what is happening is that now that they have been presented, and now that the word has cut them at the heart, they now have to realize that changes are needed.
Yeah.
And since changes are needed, what do I need to do in order for this change to take place in my life? Where, and it says again, what should we do? What should we do now that I know better? You know, it's just not enough to know better. But the reality is, what are you going to do to be better? He says, what? They said, what should we do? So in all actuality, David, they're saying, I need some help. Because on my own, I can't fix it. Because if I could have fixed it, then this word never would have touched me. But now that this word has touched me, it's letting me know that I need to make some changes. I know I need to make some changes, but I don't know how to make the changes. So I need you to help. Isn't that what the word of God does for us? It helps us to know what to do. You see, because as we're seeing, but we have to understand that this is the foundational principle that Peter is about to give them. Because what Peter says to them, he says, the first thing he says you need to do is repent. Now, what does the word repent mean? Turn away. What he is saying is that the direction that you're going in is not a direction that's going to lead to life, but it's going to lead to death. It is time for you to turn away. It's just like you coming up on a detour sign that tells you that you got to go left or right, but you ignore the detour sign. You ride around the detour sign, keep going straight, and before you know it, your car done fell off the cliff. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? You should have saw that the cliff, oh, there's no bridge there. But the reality is this. That's what sin does. Sin clouds our vision. Sin is like putting up a fog and you're trying to ride through the fog to see where you're going. And when you're trying to ride through the fog to see where you're going, how far can you see?
Not far.
So the detour tells you go left, but you continue to go straight. Then that's telling me that you're leading yourself to your own demise. You see, it is not the Lord's will for any of us to be beat down by sin. Because if it was his will for us to be beat down by sin, don't you know Jesus never would have come? Jesus came to make a difference for us. Jesus came because Jesus came to show us the detour that we no longer had to keep going down that road of pain and suffering, being towed up from the floor up because sin has been kicking our behind. And what the Lord is telling us that there is a better way, and that he came to show us the better way. And in order to get to the better way, you must first repent, which means you must first make the turn. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I thank God that we're here because we made the turn. And there are still some of us in here right now that need to make that
turn.
You see, I want you to understand, the Lord wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, but you'll never know it until you first make the
turn.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, we lose out on a whole lot of stuff because we have not yet made that
turn.
You see, there's a lot of things God has in store for us, but you can't get to it until you first make that
turn.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you want to understand what the love of God is all about, how much he cares about you, I don't care how other folk have dissed you, kicked you to the curb, spit on you, wiped their feet on you, and walked all over you, but I want you to understand, when you make that, you'll come to learn just how much the Lord loves you. Now, we have to see as we go forward in that verse. He says that you have to repent. And what he does is he has a conjunction in there. And y'all know I love the conjunctions and but. And as we look at the conjunction and, what and is telling us is that now we got to continue on the road that we're going. We ain't making no turns. We're going to go and continue. Once we make the turn to repent, what we need to do is what? Be baptized, right? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be what? So the Lord wants to forgive us of our what?
Sin.
So what am I saying? The only reason why sin stays on us is because we let it stay there. So if we turn, if we repent, and we are being baptized, it tells us that our sins will be what?
Forgiven.
So what is that telling us? The Lord has given us specific instructions. In order for you to find out how good your life can be, you must be first willing to make the
turn.
And once you make that turn, then you need to be. Other words, let me put it to you this way. You better turn and get dipped. Are you working with me? Ain't that what it's saying? You got to turn and be dipped. Which means is that just to say you make the turn, but you're not being dipped. What you're saying is, Lord, I want change, but I don't want to get dipped. So what the Lord is telling us, it's a process. The process is what takes place on the inside. That's the first process. The dip is an outward showing of a change on the inside. And if you ain't changed on the inside, then you really don't need to be. Because I want you to know, if you are dipped without making a change, all you did was just get wet. Oh, I just wanted to go for a quick swim. But I want you to understand that the Lord wants you to turn. Turn away from sin. And once you make the decision to turn away from sin, then you are to be baptized to so that you can truly see the evidence that your sins have been what? You see, I want you to understand that there is no shortcut. There is the only way to do it is you must first repent and then you must be baptized. And when those two things take place, I want you to understand there's a gift waiting for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, there's a gift waiting for you. But before I get there, the one thing that we got to go back and look at and bring into play here is this. That the promise was given to the apostles. As Jesus was ascending, he told them before he left that go stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit that my Father has promised you. It's coming for you. But in order for you to receive it, you got to be in the right place at the right time. And they were in the right place at the right time. And we're seeing that once they have now been baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit, they had a fire inside of them. But the interesting thing was, is that when Jesus said that y'all would be baptized, I mean, he said to them, you will be baptized. He didn't tell them everybody else would be baptized or filled with his Holy Spirit. You see, he made a promise to them. But what Peter came to realize is that as he was preaching and saw how lives were changing, it wasn't because of he was all that. It was because the Holy Spirit was inside of him, working through him. And what he realized is that the same Spirit in me is not just for me and the apostles. It's for anybody that believes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. For anybody that's baptized in the name of Jesus. And if you are willing to receive that gift, you must repent and be baptized. And what Peter is saying, that this gift is just so good. When I look at how the Lord is working through me, when I look at how the Lord is blessing me, when I look at how the Lord is using me, that which I thought was I was incapable of doing, the Lord told me, yes, I can. But here I want you to understand something. The reality about Peter and those disciples, they were all just a bunch of misfits. They weren't nobody. They were a whole bunch of nobodies going nowhere. But Jesus stepped into their lives and told them, you're no longer a misfit, that you are important to me. I got work for you. But you know what? The same thing is true about us today, my brothers and my sisters. We are all in here and we ain't nothing but a whole bunch of misfits. And what made us no longer misfits is that we repented. And that we were baptized and we waited on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And being blessed with the Holy Spirit, we came to realize that the things we thought we couldn't do, that the Lord is doing with us. Amen. Some of us thought we'd never amount to much of anything. But once we came and gave our lives to Jesus, didn't the Lord do a great thing in us? Didn't the Lord take us to places we thought we couldn't go? Do things we thought we couldn't do? Thought we wasn't smart enough? Thought we ain't living in the right place? Thought because of our situation? Thought because I was locked up? Thought because I did this? Thought because I did that? But what I'm here to tell you, when God fills you with his Holy Spirit, you're no longer a misfit. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what you can do now becomes limitless because we can do all things through Christ. That because greater is he that is in than he that is in the. When you come to realize that, you get excited about the gift that God has given you. Do I got anybody excited about the gift of the Holy Spirit? That Spirit has done things in you you thought you'd never be able to do. I want you to know I ain't nothing but a misfit that the Lord has done something with. You ain't nothing but a misfit that the Lord has done something with. But we wouldn't find that out until we first repent. Oh, somebody go talk to me today. We have to see that Peter told them to repent. Get dipped in the name of Jesus so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the promise. You see it right? For the promise is for who? For your children and for all you who are what? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I was far away. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you. I get excited because guess what? We were far away. But hold on. Wait a minute. Let's go further in that verse. It says, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Amen. I answered. I'm going to let that sink in. The Lord has called all of us. But did we answer? And if you haven't answered, he's still calling. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, which means that the Lord is calling us. And I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. Don't try to fix it, then come. Because if you could fix it, then you wouldn't need Jesus. It is something that's beyond your ability. The one thing that we have to understand is that all of us have limitations. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, our limitations would get us but so far, and then we couldn't go any further. But I thank God that through his Holy Spirit, that when we reach our limitations, that doesn't mean that God has that limit. But through his Holy Spirit, he takes us further than what we ever thought we could do. Because when we look at these apostles that began to speak in a different language than their own, it was nothing but the Lord working through them. And remember how we looked and how they said, aren't these just a whole bunch of Galileans? Which means, aren't these a whole bunch of nobodies speaking in our language? These are folk that ain't amount to nothing, but they speaking in our language because of the fact that when they heard those Galileans, they saw nothing but a bunch of misfits. So what the reality is, the whole world were misfits. Misfits because they allowed sin to overwhelm them. They allowed sin to take charge. You know how I know that this is what it is? Because when you look at verse number 40, what's in quotes, it says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. We live in a world that's filled with corruption. We live in a country that has a whole bunch of corruption. And the thing is, as soon as I said that, y'all immediately wanted to go up there to talk about number 45. But number 45 don't just hold that to himself. There's a whole bunch of corrupt folk around 45. And I want you to understand that we ain't going to focus on the corruption. We're going to focus on our God. And as we focus on our God, because our God has saved us, we just keep praying for all them corrupt folk. But we understand that we know how to get right. We are not going to focus on what's wrong, but we're going to focus on what's right. Because if you focus on what's wrong, you'll never get the problem solved. Because as long as you talk about the problem, then that's all you're doing is talking about it. But what God wants us to do is be about it. That's why he anointed and filled them with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. And on that day that he proclaimed the gospel, 3,000 folk came saying, what do we do? What should we do? They came, they were baptized, and they were anointed and appointed by God. Isn't that why we're in church right now? Because the Lord has anointed us, the Lord has changed our lives, and now that the Lord has done all that he's done for us, you mean to tell me all we can do is give God a little hand clap when we think of what our lives were like prior to Jesus? Hasn't he brought us a mighty long way? Hasn't he done great things for us? Hasn't he made the impossible possible? Hasn't he opened doors for us? Hasn't he knocked down walls for us? Hasn't he made a way for us? Hasn't he been there with us through thick and through thin? And you mean to tell me we ain't got nothing to praise God for when we think about all that the Lord has done and is doing in our lives? I'm excited about the gift of the Holy Spirit, because when I want to say no, something inside of me gets stirred up. That's called the Holy Spirit. It is such a great gift. I am excited about the gift because he didn't have to give it to me. He chose to give it to me. So, Lord, I thank him. Anybody thankful for the gift? Anybody thankful for what God is doing? Somebody ought to give him some praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You see? Hold on. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord. Now, look at verse 42. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. If we're going to truly utilize the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing to be teachable. Did y'all hear what I said? We have to be willing to be teachable. Because if we're not willing to be teachable, then fellowship ain't going to be applicable. The Lord don't need a whole bunch of nobody. I mean, a whole bunch of know-it-alls. I done heard that before. I ain't got to hear that again. Well, when you start talking like that, I might as well like, well, let me go on. Because you already know it. So, oh, that's good. She had to open like that. In. Since you already know it all, let me just shut up. We have to understand. I know for a fact there have been stuff I've preached before. And I went back and reviewed it to preach again. And you know, I learned something new. Every time I read God's word, new mercies he puts upon me. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. So every time I see God's word, God shows me it's something new. So since God can show me something new, and I know I ain't all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. And guess what? Neither are you. And because of that, we ought never to put ourselves in a position to where we are not teachable. I want you to know we all can learn from one another. And if we are not willing to be teachable, then how is God's gift going to truly exude and come out of us the way God wants it to? So we got to be teachable. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, amen. I ain't hating you. And I don't want you to hate me. If we're going to have fellowship with one another, I can't be hating on you. You can't be. And I know some folk done lied on you. I know some folk done put your business out there. And if you allow that to hinder you, then fellowship on your behalf can't work. Hebrews 10 tells us, forsake not the assembling of coming together, one with another. We have to be willing to fellowship. When you are teachable, then you can have fellowship. You know, I understand all of us come from various walks of life. But the one common denominator in the church, his name is Jesus. And don't you know, when you're dealing with fractions, when you're adding fractions, in order to add fractions together, they have to have the same common of somebody working with me. And it don't matter what the numerator is, because all of us have different numerators. But if we all have the same common, then God can keep us together. Because whatever is different about us, we know that there's one thing that's the same about us, and his name is. Because we all have a common. We ain't going to be concerned about the numerator. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? You see, and check this out. If we are teachable and we have fellowship, then we can have the breaking of bread. It's talking about the communion primarily. And then also there's nothing wrong, because I know when we leave here, all the ushers, they're going to go eat. They're going to go break some bread. But they're going to do more than break some bread. Some going to eat some more than bread. But you understand the concept. If I'm willing to fellowship, prior to that, if I'm teachable, then I'm able to be relatable and we can hang out. We might not be the besties, but we can hang out because we all have the common. And once we're able to do that, then guess what? I can't pray for you if I'm hating on you. If I'm hating on you, I ain't praying for you. Somebody ought to say amen. Deacon Jones, God had to show me this when he called me to pastor. I'm just being real. Because of the fact that I truly can't pastor a church filled with people if I'm not able to pray for everybody. I can't be the pastor God is calling me to be if I'm going to be a cherry pick pastor. I pray for you. I ain't praying for you. I pray for you. I ain't praying for you. I ain't praying for you. I ain't praying for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what is the Lord saying? Ministry that you do is bigger than you and I. And guess what? If somebody got a problem with you or they hating on you, that's all right. You keep praying for them. You do good to those that want to despise you. Because of the fact that you understand, you will put heaping coals on their head. It is not about you getting caught up in your emotions. You stay caught up in being emotional with God. Because I know who woke me up this morning. I know who started me on my way. I know who keeps me up every second of every minute of every day. And if I allow wow, folks, or say about me, have some influence on what I do, then guess what? I can't be who God's calling me to be. And guess what? That ain't just for me. That's also for. Oh, I love the Lord. Honey. Oh, I just can't stand. I thought I was going to end on that hoop and we can go home. Huh? He ain't had to come down here, Lane. He ain't had to do this. But this is the truth. Teachable. Fellowship. Breaking bread. Prayer. If we do those four things, the numbers that we have are going to, we're going to be blown away by the numbers we are going to have. Because we're teachable, fellowship, breaking bread, and praying. You see, I don't know about you, but the only reason why I'm here is because somebody had me on their mind. And took the time. Don't you know that when we first get started with the Lord, we get to where we get started and able to keep moving forward is because somebody. And then once we get engaged in our Christian walk, then we start being able to pray for ourselves. But then as we continue to grow in our Christianity and God continues to elevate us, you know what? We still need folk to be praying for us, and we are praying for other folk, and that's what allows us to truly be all that God wants us to be here at Broad Rock Baptist Church at 5106 Walmsley Boulevard, Richmond, Virginia 23223. No, did I say that right? 232. There it is. I was good. I should have kept my mouth closed about the zip code. 23224. I knew it, but you know what happened, Brother Red, every now and then. But what I want us to understand, my brothers and my sisters, is that it's not them over there and us over here. It's a whole bunch of us. It's we are in this. So if we're going to get there, we got to get there. How? Because we all have. And since we have value, we have to be willing to be teachable, fellowship, break the bread, and we are praying for one another because we're all in this. Because we all have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it has come from the Lord. How many of us deserve that gift? How many of us deserve that gift? None of us. You see, I ain't raised my hand, right? I'm glad we got it. But I ain't deserve that gift. Because all the way here in the back, here in the last row, is my cousin's sister, all the way in the back, myself, she all the way in the back. She knew me, because of course I'm older than her, but she knew me way back when. She knew me when I was just Kevin, and maybe a few other names. And now she look up here at her big head cousin, and she still shake her head, I don't know how the Lord did something. Look at Yeah, she's back there shaking her head. Look at her. She's back there shaking her head. I'm just a couple of years older than her. She's going to tell you how many in a minute. But I'm a little older than her, but she knew me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She knew me. She knew me before I know how to use words without them all being four letters. She knew me when I didn't want y'all to know me, because I was nothing but a misfit that needed to be fixed by none other than Jesus, who is able to take a nothing and make something out of it. And I know, Sister Davis, if the Lord can do something with this big head dude you're looking at right now, I know he can work on any and everybody. You see, because what you see before you is not somebody who's perfect, but somebody who got it wrong on many fronts. And you see, bro, there was a time when I would come outside, and yes, I'd have my stocking cap on too. But all that, look what the Lord. And that's not just my story. That's your story. Look at your neighbor, give him a high five, say, I ain't a misfit no more. I ain't a misfit no more. Because once I repented, once I got dipped, the Lord gave me a gift. And you know what's interesting about that gift? He said, here. But when I looked at him, if I didn't know him, I couldn't take it. Because I wouldn't know what to do with it. So I had to turn, be baptized. And then when he gave me the gift, I knew it was nothing but his grace. His gift is all tied up in grace and mercy. Ain't none of us to serve it, but he gave us his grace. And that's why we are where we are. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Lord. Ain't none of us deserve it. But he gave it to us. That's called his grace and mercy. Grace is an unmerited gift, which means that you could not earn it. You can't work for it. It just has to be given. And that's what his Holy Spirit is. It's a gift. It's a gift that allows us to do what we thought we were incapable of. If you had saw me back in the 80s and told me God was going to have me in 2018 preaching the gospel in Richmond, Virginia, I would have told you to take another hit, because you ain't high enough. Take another hit. Take another hit. Because right now you're delusional. Take another hit. But look what the Lord has done. And when you look at your life, think about where you are. Think about what God has done. And you thought it was not possible. And you thought that you were hearing somebody talk who was delusional. But God ain't delusional. And what God says he's going to do is going to come to pass. And look at where we are right now. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he ain't done with me yet. I'm still going on. You see, my brothers and sisters, our God is good. That's why I'm thanking him for the